from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. And thanks to Black and Abdallah. Abdallah is in with Cap tomorrow. Remember, his safe word is pterodactyl. So when you hear that...
Someone's got to come get me.
Somebody come get him. Pterodactyl.
What are you anticipating to make go wrong?
I got to talk Cubs.
And then you're going to need to be saved?
Trubisky.
Yeah.
Stuff that doesn't matter.
Trubisky. Are you afraid he's going to try to put a Trubisky jersey on you?
Adam's going to pull out his phone and say, oh, Rappaport just tweeted, Pickett got the starting job, and just watch Cap's head explode.
Yeah. That would be great.
Then it'll be the Abdallah show.
Yeah. Good.
He'll be saying pterodactyl.
Cap's going to wrap him up in a Pittsburgh Steelers Trubisky gear.
Put this on, Cap.
He's going to tie him up and gag him.
He's asking I can't breathe, Cap. That's he's the
gonna,
point.
He's going to put a terrible towel in your mouth. He's going to gag you with it, wrap you up in a Trubisky
jersey. That's where all his takes should go, though, in the terrible towel.
There you go. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
No shot.
Waddle and Sylvie are here. It looked like a great time at Manny's, and thank you to Danny Zetterman and Keith Williams for bringing Manny's back.
Yeah, that was
so
nice.
We could all enjoy some pastrami. Oh,
it was happy birthday to them. Today was their 80th birthday/anniversary.
How about that? Wow. Packed house.
The Raskin family. Gotten to know Dan Raskin, who lives in my community. So shout out to everyone at Manny's. The governor was there, too.
I saw that.
I know Yurko was very excited to see that on my story today.
Yes, very excited. He already made a comment. He already made a smart-ass comment. Yeah. He's only the good
what I do.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel could have a whole segment with mean tweets after
I tweeted. Oh, I bet he could, Sylvie. Well, listen, when you're a public figure like that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Yeah, you don't want to be on Twitter.
I think it was Meller. Meller was talking him up. Was it you, Meller, who was chatting up the governor? He told him to grab a seat, right?
He was trying to entice him to sit down and have some of the delicious food.
Because he commented, I think, that we didn't finish all of our food.
Did he? Because he's eyeing it up. He was probably. Are you kidding me? He's like, is that going to waste? I mean, come on. Had he not eaten, really?
Not going to
the governor didn't eat? Well, that's like torture, right? I mean, if he's walking around giving a big toast and he can't even eat anything in there.
What's your safe word?
Torture.
Pastrami.
My safe word is pastrami. I made love to that half a pastrami sandwich I had, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Didn't even eat it. Did you just rubbed it all over your body?
Just slathered it on. It's just
Carmen likes a good deli sandwich.
Man. You know what I had? I had matzo ball soup for the first time ever.
Yeah?
Yes, I got to tweet that out. Waddle's never had matzo ball soup.
It tasted great.
I think it tastes bland to me. It's like very bland.
It tasted like chicken noodle soup to me.
Yurko used to always get the mishmash.
It's not a meatball.
Remember?
He mentioned Kreplach yesterday.
Get the mishmash.
No, I'd get the matzo ball soup.
Well, I thought you'd get mishmash.
Oh, big fan. Every once in a while, the mishmash, but the matzo ball soup.
What was the Jewish deli we used to go to?
Ada's.
Ada's. It was Ada's. They closed.
Oh, man.
Was the governor there?
Fantastic.
No. But it was closer than Manny's. It was a couple blocks away, so we'd send the interns a lot back.
Listen, the Chick-fil-A used to be the OTB here. Remember?
No.
There's an OTB right here.
The Torture Museum was the OTB.
The Torture Museum. Yeah.
Have you guys been there
yet? What was that, a mattress store?
No. Yeah, it was a mattress store.
Torture Museum's open tomorrow, 7 to 10, isn't it, Adam?
Oh, good one.
Pterodactyl!
Only for your ears. Only for your ears.
Pterodactyl!
Jesus, what?
Adam said it's 7:09.
Get that Trubisky jersey off of me!
Don't you have to say it more calmly, though, to not alarm people?
Not if you've got a Trubisky jersey around your neck.
But what's the point of a safe word if you're like being so
He's going to have to say, look on the roof up there, Cap. Is that a pterodactyl? That's what he's going to have to do. Just do that.
And then all of a sudden, people come running.
Exactly.
Getting Abdallah out of the studio.
Why are you wearing just shoulder pads for today's show?
Pterodactyl. We were doing a role play, by the way, at the deli. Waddle was Jerry and I was Tony. we were pretending that we were out in Scottsdale talking about the offseason. And whether or not we should come back for another year.
I told him I'm managing until I die.
Yes, we did that.
Was it Nightingale last week who tweeted that if they miss the playoffs, he'll go upstairs for the last year?
That's a possibility, right? Well, that's who you want to tweet about it,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, because he's getting it from Jerry.
Like I said, and again, this violates common sense, and I get it, and everyone's going to get bitter beer face. What if Tony says, hey, listen, it didn't go the way I wanted to the first 2 years. I want a third shot to try to make this right. You're going to tell me Jerry tells him no, he can't do it?
No.
Jerry's going to allow him to do it, isn't
absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
Or how about let his general manager generally manage?
No.
How about that?
That won't happen.
You know what I'm going to do? I actually said that you should manage. I'm going to let my general manager make the call of the baseball team. Rick, should Tony manage? No. Okay. Tony, my general manager, says no.
It last time. Why is it going to happen this time?
I know. I can't argue with a lack of common sense. But that's what should happen.
You know what he has that I just...
What was that? What does he have?
That was Keyshawn.
What does he have?
Keyshawn? I think that was Keyshawn.
Keyshawn would like to weigh in on Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I don't care. How refreshing was it last night to not sit down on your couch and put yourself through 3 hours of required viewing. You know what I watched last night?
What?
Top Gun, Top Notch.
Great, right?
Loved it.
Isn't it great?
I thought it was fabulous.
It really is.
I thought it was fabulous.
Did you turn the sound way up?
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Crank
just,
it.
Just
I
me and my
it.
Wife at home. I mean, like,
you're empty nester, Waddle. Waddle's an empty nester.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Craziness. I watched some baseball, but it was better. It was Angels and Yankees because, they both homered last night, too. It was good. Shohei's amazing. Just amazing.
You don't know what a home run looks like these days, do you?
It'll be a Cub?
Man, I get excited, wouldn't you? Of course, and it was the place, I think the Cubs were second on his list.
Is your owner going to pay him when he's up?
Well, you got to pay him and trade for him.
Please.
Like getting two players.
Yes.
For how long, though? Will he be a great two-way player?
This is fleeting?
I don't know.
It's too good to be true?
We've never seen it. Is there precedent?
No.
I could compare it to?
No.
Babe Ruth didn't really pitch after he was slugging.
When he got traded, he didn't.
Many years did Babe Ruth pitch?
For Boston, more so. Wasn't it more of a Boston thing?
And I think I heard Verducci say last night that, could this be right? Because he would have expected they pitched a lot more, that Ruth never pitched enough innings to be a qualified pitcher, that Shohei's the only guy that
it's
ever
incredible.
Now a qualified hitter and pitcher because he has enough innings per team games. Like this is like never been done. So Sylvie's right. There is no precedent. You have no idea how long he can do this.
Babe Ruth pitched about 5 seasons.
Was he ever a qualified pitcher, Mellor? Did he never?
Yeah, because he
was?
He hit 217 innings, 323 innings, 326 innings.
So Verducci
has that Fergie. Wrong. Those are Fergie Jenkins.
I was going to say back then I would be shocked if he didn't. Maybe I heard it wrong. Maybe
they weren't resting their arm.
No.
In 1916, Babe Ruth went 23-12 with a 1.75 ERA. He led the league.
So he 40 is starts. Like, but we just, that's in what year?
Yeah, early.
1916.
Right. That's when football players were playing both ways, too.
I mean, right, exactly.
You know, so it wasn't a rarity to play two ways in any sport.
It's crazy. Speaking of home runs, and I caught your joke, Waddle, and it was a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to see what it's
most
like.
Most of them fly under the radar
That was good. I caught it right away.
On which one?
Because he said, would you want to see what a home run looks like? Because I said, I wanted to watch Trout and Shohei. And he goes, would you want to see what a home run looks like? Because my team doesn't hit him.
Oh, right.
It's a good joke. Kyle Schwarber.
The pastrami sandwich has you a little bit sleepy.
I'm in a pastrami coma.
You ready? And I think you guys asked Schwarber about it. And he said, sure, I would have listened to the White Sox.
Oh, he wanted to go.
Kyle Schwarber has 2.5 times the number of home runs as the high man on the Chicago
White Sox. So does he have
30? He's got 36.
36?
Kyle Schwarber
got 36 has 36
home runs. He has 2.5 times.
And Carm, what have we found?
36.
Listen, this is
the White Sox.
He slowed down a little bit.
He has 14.
Look, and this is to all of the people. I know he doesn't play good defense, but this is what masks not being a great defensive player. Someone that can hit dongs.
Right.
So you've got an outfield right now that's got a bunch of liabilities. No one hits dongs.
And nobody's hitting a dong.
Right.
They've got like 15 of them combined in right and left field.
You know what? I got these zits on my face, but I got a great personality, a good head of hair.
Right.
Like, that's what They got zits on their face, you know.
And a bad personality.
And a bad personality and a bad head of hair.
And they stink in bed.
All
like
of
that's the okay. That's the equalizer. That's the home run. That's the home run.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
could,
that's
you,
true.
You could overlook yeah. some of the warts and some of the yeah. pock marks. They're good and bad.
Sylvie's right.
The great. That's the
I'm
home
like
run.
A horse.
That's
and you're good the, and bad. All of a sudden,
that's
it covers
the equalizer.
Up, it covers up a lot yeah. of the flaws.
You want Johnny up.
Whoa.
Johnny was doing a little mob research. Next thing you know.
Was he researching the mob?
He was researching the mob. Johnny was giving me a mob lesson before we came on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
we were talking about
stuff. We were talking about Calumet City. He asked me where it was.
Yes.
And I said right on the state
well,
line.
I asked him if he grew up in Calumet City.
Yeah. So, well, okay, I did yeah. grow up in Calumet City.
Here's what he's researching. While we're having a crosstalk conversation.
No offense, Carmen. Yeah. No offense.
Frank Zito yeah. and the Zito Brothers.
Yeah.
1944 organized crime. Wikipedia.
Yeah. Johnny told me the FBI was in part created so that they could...
They kept right. crossing state lines.
State lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
City
that's
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I was getting a
to be
getting
a nice
history. They wanted to go after the bank robbers and the bootleggers,
yeah, I
right?
I mean, the gambling's so easy nowadays. Yeah. Back in the old days,
no, yeah.
And when I say old days, the 70s, you know, you had your illegal dice games in of Hammond,
course.
Indiana.
Of course.
And then every once in a while, the old man get a call at 3 in the morning, Uncle Cheeto and Monte
yeah.
were at the, you know,
you gotta go,
up
you,
at the
you gotta go pick
holy.
Them up.
They got pinched. Yeah. Sweet Veeds had to find $400 in order to take both of them out.
Put that away, please.
What is this? What do you got
not
there?
Thanks. What are you doing here?
I don't know. Is that your? Is that a pencil? You bring a pencil to work
no,
every
this
day.
Is the breaker right there. For the window, you knucklehead.
In case what?
What
your
you
truck
doing?
Goes into the water?
Exactly.
You need to break.
I
never
no.
talked about it before.
Have you ever been in the Cal Seg channel? You don't want to be
yet.
There.
Not yet. Don't want to be there either.
You don't want to be there.
Speaking of the
Zito brothers. Speaking of the 1944 Zito brothers, yeah.
Well, you guys got some against history?
No.
That's what I was asking. I'm looking up some historical perspective.
I'm amazed by the facts that, that Yurko knows on a daily basis.
There's a lot of reading I've done over a life.
I know you have. He is a
fountain
of knowledge.
Just ask him.
I'm a fountain. You know what? You want a piece now? Maybe you ought to go work.
Should have heard him and
while,
Jesse
huh?
arguing
oh,
yesterday
I can imagine.
Over Braxton Jones.
I mean, he said he had Braxton Jones in the Hall of Fame
Hall
already.
Of fame
Jesse
already.
He said he
to
Jesse's credit.
Fame.
He said it was his man crush.
Yeah,
Braxton or, Jones.
Well, because the kid is looking the part.
Well, he said he watched the game more
over
than
and
once
over.
And focused on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and I said to Jesse,
play.
I said, Jess, this is no disrespect. You know, I love you like a brother. Have the ultimate respect for you. I said. Do you know what they were asking Braxton Jones to do on each individual play? He goes,
no,
but it looked good.
No, yeah.
I go, like,
well,
so I said,
know.
So Jess, so it's kind of hard with all due respect
I
to know
them.
What they're asking.
Well, when you've got a blown coverage, the first thing I always say is, what was the call?
Right.
You got to know what the call is to know who to assess blame to.
Right.
I can kind of look at it and kind of guess that it might be somebody's fault.
Maybe one guy's you, playing cover I mean, three and the safety's
listen,
on the hash.
Terrell Buckley.
Oh, no, I mean, I get that.
Listen,
but when
Buckley,
it comes to the line.
Buckley blew a coverage, right, against Philadelphia Eagles. Freddie Barnett's running scot-free down the sidelines. He's playing the middle of the field was Mike Pryor. Mike Pryor sees the ball thrown, tries to give chase and come up quick, but he ends up short. And the play is a touchdown for Freddie Barnett. The papers read Mike Pryor blows coverage. Mike Pryor didn't blow the coverage.
Cornered
Buckley
it.
Buckley blew the coverage. Yeah.
Did you pull one of the writers off to the side and have a chat? Because you were good at that.
Bob McGinn,
legend.
Yeah, or you know a couple other guys that were up there at the time. Bud Lee was up there. Wisconsin State
what
Urinal.
What a great name.
Bud Lee.
Yeah, and Bob McGinn. That's a good name,
hey,
too.
The Wisconsin State Urinal. That's who he wrote for. Yeah. And
hilarious.
We used to call it the Sun Urinal down in Calumet City.
That's Tom a Zach. Sentinel.
Oh man, Tom Zach hated
Sentinel, or
he hated
urinal?
Bob Rizek.
Really?
Bob Rizek was the local
well,
writer.
Who didn't
down there?
He was the first guy
now.
To yell fake news.
And so he goes, hey, "He was."
It was Tom Zach.
Correct.
It was Tom
Zach. He goes, "I don't want none of you guys reading the Sun Urinal."
That's hilarious.
That's what he told us.
Good line. Oh,
okay. Fake news.
Yeah. So anytime I see journal, I always throw urinal in there.
I love
but
it.
It was Terrell Buckley that blew the coverage. But I'm not going to a reporter and say, hey, it was Terrell Buckley that blew the coverage. I'm not throwing Terrell Buckley under there. We all knew who blew the coverage. Pryor took the blame. He was a veteran guy. It didn't make a difference. He was fine.
It's harder to tell in those instances in the backfield, but on the line, you can kind of...
Yeah, I mean,
you get an idea if a guy's getting beat or not.
If a guy gets beat like a drum,
yeah. Well, you kind of know.
What if your responsibility is to take the inside away and you're supposed to get outside help from a tight end or a linebacker or a fullback?
Right, that's true.
And that guy doesn't show up. So then you get beat to the edge and everyone's like, oh my God, he got beat on the edge.
Fair enough.
Well, he was supposed to be getting help from the fullback.
And you don't want my left tackle to not need any help.
You don't
want
to show up another player on the field either. So you don't want to put your hands in the air and go, oh, where the hell were you?
Trent Williams ain't walking through that door right there.
He's not?
No.
Is Walker Jones?
Not walking through that door.
Ronnie Stanley?
No. Anthony Munoz?
Is Anthony Munoz?
Not walking through that door.
Jimbo? Willie Rofe?
Willie Rose?
Willie Rose. I'll take Willie Rose. Left tackle.
Any of them?
How about Big John Alt?
Who was...
Munoz did walk through the door. Yeah, he was a consultant for Dick Duran and others.
That's true. That's true.
We've actually had Anthony Munoz's son.
I'm hoping Braxton Jones, he didn't have to be a first-team All-Pro this year.
No.
Show some promise.
Yeah, right. Just
be a
don't
solid
suck,
player.
Right?
Yeah. Did you guys see the news about
Jesse had him in the Hall of Fame?
Leatherwood?
Yeah, Alex Leatherwood.
That's a dirty name, too. That should be the safe word. Leatherwood.
Leatherwood.
Tomorrow.
Well, and he's a Bama guy, so that could be it. Yeah.
So, I mean, how did Poles scout him last year?
Good question,
Sylvie. It's hard to read the Leatherwood thing. Because you don't know if that's he just sucks or that's a Josh McDaniels move.
Right.
Because Josh McDaniels has got a whole resume of doing stuff
you
like that.
You can kind of tie it into what they dealt with here with Jenkins, and it looks like they found a way to salvage Jenkins.
Right.
And
maybe these guys know how to develop.
Yeah.
And maybe you could bring in a first-round talent guy and at least bring him through the door, see if he's willing to work.
I think cutting Schofield, or however he pronounced
Michael Schofield.
Schofield, yeah. Is a good example of what this new front office is about. We're going to bring guys in, low capital cost.
No promises.
We're going to try guys. And we're going to be open to be. You've got to put claims on guys, right? So you won't even find out whether your claim goes through for another 24 hours plus. I'm not going to be shocked if there's three or four guys, that they put on their roster and say, hey, listen, we like that guy better than we like the guy we currently have on our roster.
Yeah.
There's a receiver out of Tampa, I think, got released.
Well, Tyler Johnson,
he's probably going to get some attention around the league.
I bet you he will.
Yeah.
He's not fast, which is like the thing that hurt, you know, it's like without speed.
Neither was this guy.
That's true.
But you know what?
Neither was Tommy Waddle. He was a monster at Minnesota his last 2 years in college. I mean, he had 25 touchdowns. He had his last 2 years in college.
I like to see the production on the field.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know, and it didn't happen down there for whatever. And you can
they're going to be guys that get released that I think will catch the attention of this new regime, and I wouldn't be shocked if they put some waiver claims out.
What's the biggest name so far? Is it Schofield?
For the Bears? Yeah, I think so. Murray Edwards,
Mario Edwards was released.
There's going to be one surprise.
I think so.
The kid that the tight end who you wouldn't give him his name until he made the roster didn't make the roster. 84
made
it. Cut. No, he got cut.
Oh, he got cut.
I believe so.
Which one was that?
The kid who caught the first touchdown pass in Cleveland.
Chase Allen.
Isn't he the one that got?
Didn't he get cut? Yeah. Chase Allen caught a touchdown the day we were at camp too. In practice,
Chase Allen didn't catch the first touchdown. Didn't Griffin catch the first touchdown?
Was it Griffin?
Yeah, so Griffin made the team.
No, did he catch a touchdown earlier in preseason, or am I thinking of someone else?
Maybe he caught one from Trevor Siemian.
I don't remember now.
So 84 did make it.
84 made it, yes.
Good. There you go.
He doesn't get a name until he makes the team next Wednesday when he's practicing.
Well, as you can tell, I missed
84 gets
misidentified.
What's up on the show today?
We're gonna be focused on the
Pastrami.
Cuts, and we're obviously gonna have Courtney Cronin on to react at five when everything.
Obviously.
She's great. She's terrific.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Obviously, yes.
She was in studio with Cap yesterday. She's been a great addition on the beat.
Yes.
So she'll react at five. Barstool Big Cat at four. We'll bring you the news as well.
Yes, we will.
And the White Sox last stand. I think we got to have a word or two on the White Sox.
I had a word or two.
Because I've got one major question about the
fun
White Sox.
Fun suckers. Two words.
Yes. Save it.
Fun suckers. They have sucked the fun out of baseball.
When I get in the car, I want to hear it.
Waddle,
save it.
Bet you do.
Waddle and Sylvia.
The CalSag channel.
Yeah, be careful.
Be careful in that channel.
Waddle and Sylvia are next. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Talking about frozen pizza fans, you know it's got to be great here in Chicago. Chicago knows that we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's Frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies that you could cook on your own time. It's why we love it in the Silverman family. So find Connie's Frozen Pizza wherever frozen pizzas are sold, like Julasco or Mariano's. You'll bring them the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Ease into the show, a little soft music.
Yes.
Can I take your order?
Wait, it's like, wait, is it like a
dinner club?
A supper club?
Yeah.
Supper club music?
Yeah.
Not been a supper club guy.
What are you drinking tonight, sir?
I'll have a, I'll start with a margarita today.
Oh, margarita.
A margarita,
okay.
Yeah.
Would you like me to throw away that cup that you brought into the joint with alcohol in it?
I'll still sip on that my drink.
We frown upon that, bringing your own booze into our establishment.
It's seltzer. I get car sick.
It's not seltzer. I can smell it on your breath.
Ginger ale. It settles my stomach.
I don't think so. You got vodka breath, sir.
You're getting too close if you're smelling my breath right now.
You're going to get nothing and like it. Out. Out. And the music fade.
And enough with the supper club.
Yeah.
The Waddle and Sylvie supper club. Couple of things today. Tyler's got a fun game for us at 3:00. We have taken lots of, I believe they're all positive. Maybe not. I don't know. I think they're all
analysts gushing over the quarterback offensive coach relationship.
Yes. So through the years, we're going to just play you an analyst. And he's going to be raving something about Bears related. And we're going to have to guess if this was under Fields, Getsy, Eberflus, or if this was under Nagy and the old regime.
May even be, you may go back to, what's his face? The professor and Jay Cutler.
Oh, really?
Or maybe even who was the
Trestman. Trestman.
How about Trestman and Josh?
Okay.
Maybe we go back to that.
Tyler came up with this, and we're going to take out the part where he talks about their name. We're just going to play you sound, and you're going to have to guess.
Which quarterback offensive guru combo are we talking about
here?
What
do we call him this? Bear gushing?
Bear gushing.
Bear guzzling?
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears? Guzzling bears?
Like gummy bears, that works.
Gummy bears?
You said gummy bears, right?
I did.
Also today, it's a Would You Rather Tuesday. It's good to do a Would You Rather on a Tuesday, like we're supposed to do, because we missed
a lot.
Like
it was originally planned.
Right. So send in your Would You Rathers, hashtag Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller, and tweet them to us using the hashtag WS Would You Rather. Send us your best. We had some good ones last week, too. And I think some people have already started. And, man, the pre-show video is real. This is one of the most commented on. All I did, we went to Manny's to celebrate their 80th birthday, and in came the governor to toast them and to wish them well. And
regardless of your politics, boy, it gets nasty.
Oh, it gets nasty. And Tyler and Meller were talking to the governor. Zetterman was there too. Keith Williams, our market manager. But it was Meller. Meller, what would you tell him? To sit down and have a bite?
Well, he commented how we had a lot of food still in front of us. Although, in our defense, we had already, all of us had already eaten at least half a sandwich. We had some stew. We had.
Well, they were very generous with what they brought us to.
Yes. It also doesn't help that Danny's not contributing.
This is true. That's the thing. And a lot of people, the ones that weren't talking about the governor in the tweets, are making comments about Zetterman, that there's too many carbs on the table for Zetterman. What does he eat? Zetterman abstained.
Didn't have anything.
He didn't have anything.
No. He had a carrot, and a small piece of beef. That's what he ate.
That's it. He would not partake in the corned beef or the pastrami.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Or, I'm going to get my money's worth at 55. I'm at least 66% of the way in the ground. I'm going to have my fun. I drink probably I had three good glasses of red wine last night.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Why'd you stop after three? Why didn't you finish the bottle?
Left.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So they were big pours.
It was about a glass and a half that I had the night before. So I probably had 2.5 glasses last night. I didn't want to open up a new one. I was sat down and watched Top Gun. Had myself a great evening.
You'll have White Sox baseball back in your life tonight. Cubs in. Yeah, I thought it was
a nice break.
Well, for me, the last couple of games, the one game I went to in Milwaukee wasn't a great game. And then last night they took a 4-0 lead, the Cubs, and then they blew it again. They went and lost an extra innings.
Well, they're supposed to.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, they're not ready to win. That's what happens. You guys get your all, hey, what a cute story. You get that all revved up in your system.
And then when you get used to winning.
Fun. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. We're turning. We're setting. And then they go on a 5-game lose. But that's what they are at this point.
Right, because they're still not good. Yeah. Right. So we are following Bears and NFL cutdown day. Today's the day that the teams have to be down to 53. The Bears, I would assume, would cut down to even more than that. Because they're going to add, right?
I would think so. I would think that they will be very active with waiver claims.
The most.
That's how it works, right? That's how it works. Like somebody gets cut, you claim that player, but then they have to go through the process of, you know, whoever's the worst team in the league gets first dibs if they want.
I don't know if it's everyone. Text Courtney so we know exactly. Yeah. Tyler, can you put in the text to Courtney so we're not speculating till 5 o'clock on that? I think
What's the process who are
signed.
Players with fewer than 4 years of accrued service time are subject to waivers.
Right. So then, but if you are a vested player, you're immediately
become a free agent and eligible to sign with any other team.
You want.
So someone like
Jeff.
Alex Leatherwood has to go through waivers.
Right.
Alex Leatherwood was the number 17 overall pick in the 2021 draft, and he went to the Raiders.
Right.
And he's already been released by the Raiders. They're scrubbing the entire John Gruden, Mike Mayock regime.
If you've seen
with their draft picks,
there's two teams that you're seeing that happen like above all others. It's the Raiders, and if you've seen what the Vikings have done as well, like the Vikings have gotten rid of their top three picks from last year's
draft.
Right.
Yep.
So I mean, listen, new regimes come in and they want to put their own people in place,
right? And that's what Poles did early.
Yes,
Poles. Now Quinn's left. And I'm sure now they'll start the season with Quinn, and then if he plays well and there's a team that needs a pass rusher, they'll be able to flip him.
Listen, if you're a huge surprise to the upside and you're in this thing, then you're probably not going to trade him. But my guess is that it's not going to be that way, and you probably will be looking for them to move on from him. Like, he could bring you a nice piece. Draft wise,
I would think so. Yeah.
Vaughn Miller. Now, Vaughn Miller has a more distinguished career, but
if Quinn is healthy,
the Rams took on a lot of that money as well. But yeah, if Quinn's healthy, he doesn't have to have a franchise record setting season. But if you Robert Quinn, if you ask me, Robert Quinn is a double digit sack guy. That's how I would describe him. Double digits. First year as a free agent here in Chicago didn't go well. Next year, he had 18 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robert Quinn is a double-digit sack.
He's averaging 10 sacks per year here. Was it 18 and a half and 2.5 or something?
Right. But that's who he is. Like, over the course of his career, you know, you look at him and go,
right. He's a 10-sack-a-year guy, 10 to 12.
Those guys for legit contenders are valuable.
Of course.
Look at what Vaughn Miller helped do for the Rams last year.
Yeah, yeah. 312-332-3776. What is it like to get cut?
Sucks. I mean, like, you put all of your heart and your energy into this, and in a lot of instances you play well and maybe you play better than a veteran, but you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, especially if you're not a draft pick. That's life in the NFL as an undrafted free agent or a low round pick. But if you know you can play, look, it's as much about finding the right spot as it is anything. Like, you've got to find a place that's going to give you an opportunity, look at the roster, and see where you may be able to carve out a little bit of a niche. So, like, when I got cut, I think, four times, whatever it was.
By the same team.
Yeah.
It was different back then.
The first time I got cut, you know, I remember going into, I was telling you guys upstairs, I was 22 years old at the time. I was an undrafted free agent. I had a really good camp and thought I had played well. Really didn't think I was going to make the team because I was young and inexperienced and wasn't a draft pick. And So I knew when I walked across the street from the parking lot and saw Ed Hughes there, who was my receivers coach the first year I was here, he said, "Coach needs to see you." Well, I mean, you knew you were going up to get cut. And I remember walking up the steps at the old Hallis Hall in Lake Forest over at the old Lake Forest College. And I knew I was going to get released, but I had this horrible, irrational fear come over my body where I was like, okay, and I haven't spent much time talking to Coach Ditka, okay? So, like, I have to go into his office now and sit in front of him and have him release me. So I went in there knowing I was going to get cut, and then I started took the turn on the steps and went up and had this horrible feeling, almost one that made you have to run into the bathroom and have diarrhea, that not only was going to get cut, but, like, Mike was going to punch me or he was going to rough me up for some reason.
He wanted to wrestle you.
He wanted to wrestle. So, I mean, listen, it's
you
not
were,
fun.
You were Northside Neil. Meet me at, what was the address?
I'll whip your ass.
Yes.
Washington?
250 North Washington, whatever, in Lake Forest. You come on up and I'll whip your ass. Whatever. I mean, it's no fun. But at that time, he cut me, but said, listen, we're going to bring you back and put you on the practice squad. So, I mean, I knew I was not going home for good. But look, at this. That's why there's a lot of jokes to be had out there, and I get it. It's, you know, it's part of the business on a day like today. But for kids and, you know, not kids, but guys that have, this has been your dream your entire life, and to go through a camp and then make it to final cuts and then be told that you didn't make the team, it'll test your mettle, so to speak.
Yeah, and they cut you three more times before you stayed for good.
Four, yeah.
That's great perseverance.
Well, look, if you think you can play, I mean, and you're not willing to let somebody define you, then keep rolling. I mean, keep giving it a shot, and hopefully you find, again, it's as much about, unless you're a top, you know, first, second, or third round pick, it's as much about finding the right spot. You create opportunity, and there's some good fortune that exists with finding an opportunity. It's kind of a blend of you create the opportunity, but you also have to be in the right spot at the right time. And if you can be, there's, do you know how, I mean, so many guys that can play that aren't on teams when the regular season kicks off because they found themselves in the wrong spot. You got to truly find yourself in a situation where the system fits you, there's a need for what you do, the depth is what it is, it allows you to kind of crack the door open and then get in there. But it's a rough time for these guys.
It's why I'm interested in seeing what Poles does as a guy who was involved in Kansas City drafts over the last few years, where a lot of these guys who are
Poles went through this as a player too.
Well, like, yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is first, second, third year players that he was scouting towards the end of the first round, like Alex Leatherwood or others. Who he always, I always liked him. He didn't fit on our team when I was with Kansas City because we were good there.
We had depth at that position.
But, like, the Bears are on the bottom. It's like what we're saying. I don't want them to bring in many veterans, just like they tried with Schofield. Like, those were backup plans. And with Riley Reiff, we'll see what happens with Reiff. But if you can find another guy, like you just said, who doesn't fit with that team who's maybe now in a win now mode, but the Bears at the bottom can fit him in because they, or any type of player, because they're going to have an opportunity that not a lot of other teams may have, and then you may grow into something here.
Yeah, I mean, that I like that approach. There will be some that, listen, there were a lot of people screaming that the Bears didn't do enough to protect their quarterback or didn't give him enough to work with. When you bring in somebody who is kind of a project, who you think can build with you, doesn't necessarily provide you what it is that people were bitching and moaning about. Like, there are a lot of people out there that were pissed off at what Ryan Poles did with regard to the offensive huddle. I'm with you. I'd rather bring in guys that you think can be part of the equation going forward. They may not be finished products now.
Right,
but
like
they can
high
grow
upside
with
guys.
Your team.
Right. Yes. And they've all this again. I'm going to be like Luke Getsy, and I'm going to be in wait-and-see mode. I want to get to that, too, because I thought Getsy, maybe out of anybody in town, the people yelling at the national media, you're not respecting us, or the people who were drinking Kool-Aid, me being one of them, I felt like I was in a good spot, though, that, hey, we're going to be better. And Getsy's like, hey, calm down. Calm down just a little bit. Getsy, like, I think was a really good spot to tell fans how a coach should feel right now.
The more you hear him talk and the more you watch him do his business, the more I think you can be excited about him being in charge of your offense.
It's almost like we haven't made much of what Eberflus has said about anything. It's what Poles has said, and it's what Getsy has said, right? Those are the two more important guys in the building.
But that's been our approach for months now, is right. For the long run, Ryan Poles is the most important guy in the building. In the short run, outside of players, Luke Getsy's more important, with no disrespect meant to the head coach. To me, the guy in charge of the offense and your quarterback is more important right now,
right
at this time, than anybody else.
It's sort of refreshing, too, to not have the head coach in your crosshairs. You know, kind of like what you said yesterday about not hating your team before the season even starts.
It's glorious.
It's kind of nice to not have a bone to pick with your head coach right now.
Yeah.
Now, even play. After the first game, that all may change. If he doesn't challenge a play like in Seattle in the opener, that could be a big game-changing play. That will change.
Look, those mistakes are going to be made throughout the course. You're not going to find any coach be perfect. You don't want those things to become habitual. There are going to be moments when we look at the television and we want to throw something at it. That's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
But so far, it all looks like it makes sense.
All right, we'll play you some Luke Getsy. At three, we're going to play the game and try to guess who the analyst was raving
about.
We're
going to play gummy bears.
A lot of people want to fight about the Bears, too. It is really amazing.
It is.
What's going on these days.
It's more that way, I think, at this point than it even was back in the Mitch days. Like, I feel more tension with Bears Twitter folks.
Right. Like, today, Orla, I told you Riddick was in the crosshairs a couple days ago for saying the Bears could be the worst teams. Today was stuff that Orlovsky was saying about being a fifth-round pick. Craziness. Like, just let the season play out. I think I don't need Dan Orlovsky's blessing that the Bears are going to be good to feel good about my team.
And I don't need somebody agreeing with my take to make sure that, you know, I know that I'm right. Listen, Dan Orlovsky has an opinion. You may agree, you may disagree.
Right. 332-3776 if you want to weigh in. Luke Getsy staying even Steven. Maybe the best approach in the building. We'll play some of that for you coming up next. You know, as the cuts come down and they get publicized and the people get scoops, I'm most interested in finding out the Tevin Jenkins stuff. I want to know the motivation behind who's giving that info to Ian Rappaport.
Well,
I don't think
anybody's going to tell you. What...
No. I know that. But I want to know from the Bears, too, how they feel about him. I mean, we'll find out whether or not they trade him. Ian Rappaport knows how to play the game. Ian Rappaport knows how to use sources. It doesn't mean that he doesn't occasionally get things wrong.
Sure.
But who's feeding that to him? Is it Tevin Jenkins' agent? Is it someone in the Bears' front office? It's got to be somebody. He just doesn't get that from Twitter. Do you know what I mean? So I'm interested in finding out how the dust settles on Tevin Jenkins.
Look, it feels like that situation has rectified itself. But that was a pretty tense ordeal, wasn't it? Between a first-time head coach and his staff and a guy that wasn't drafted by the front office, who had issues last year, wasn't healthy, had kind of a volatile personality in some ways. That, what was the mystery? Why wasn't he practicing earlier?
Well, and why is he still reporting this? As of yesterday, like you said, it's rectified itself. We would think, we would be surprised if they would move on from him. What are they going to get for him?
Don't know.
Who's going to give them anything of note for a guy who's only started at guard for 2 weeks? I think he's better off being used and grown here now that you've salvaged this.
No, you feel like they've salvaged. Maybe they feel like it's all good for the moment, but this is something that could percolate and boil over at any time again.
That's why I'm interested in seeing how the dust settles on this. Instead of just a report from the NFL Network, I want to hear.
Maybe Tevin Jenkins said, okay, I'll go back and work and play guard, but I don't want to be here anymore,
right,
so I'll go play.
Maybe his agent's trying to get a market for him.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Like, the people who do rip the... People don't understand what goes on through the back channels. Like one example that I'll use.
Well, you covered this team. You've done these research.
I'll even give you a more current one. People used to tweet me, Sylvie, you guys are turning into TMZ with this Marshall Cutler stuff. Cutler, Marshall are fine. Why are you guys creating the drama? Jay at the break has taken off his headset, MF and Brandon Marshall to us. Oh, you won't believe what Marsh is doing. B. Marsh is doing this. You won't believe it. Sylvie, you don't know anything.
And then the following week,
Brandon Marshall's in with us. He's taking off his headset at the break, and he's MFing Cutler to us. And this was going on for weeks. And all we said is, you know what? I would just watch out. Things aren't good behind the scenes between these two guys.
Right.
You guys don't know anything. What do you mean? We were getting it from Cutler and Marshall. Ian Rappaport doesn't just make stuff up. These things aren't just made up.
Correct.
So that's one example.
Think of who Roquan Smith released his statement through. Ian Rappaport.
Well, right. Correctly. That's a good point. Right. Like, it was on his notes page, and he emailed it or texted it to Ian Rappaport. So I'm just saying, before you want to go after the messenger, something's going on behind the scenes, whether it's his agent, whether it's him, whether it's maybe the Bears not being settled on this.
And they may all live happily ever after.
They may, sure, right.
I mean, that happens. This isn't it's an emotional business. These jobs, your career lasts less than 4 years. There's millions of dollars at stake. These are very type A personality people for the most part that play this sport, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in this business.
Right, right.
It ain't tea and crumpets every day.
No, I know. And we used to tell this stuff about Tibbs in the front office.
Yeah.
Guys, they aren't good. Oh, you guys just want to create drama. Trust me, guys, they're not good. Things aren't good behind the scenes.
I feel pretty good about the fact over the course of years of you and I working together, we don't say to get a reaction.
No.
If we say something, you can bet that it's
the real deal.
Or that there's something that has been said or done that would lead you to believe that we're not trying to just create clicks and attention.
Yeah, yeah. I got to play you the Getsy stuff, and then we've got the quotes, and we're going to have to guess with Tyler about the raving. And this goes perfectly with Getsy, because Getsy's like, turn the corner. Even Fields said they turned the corner. And I like that my quarterback is gaining confidence.
So did Darnell Mooney.
Right. And Luke Getsy's like, whoa, we haven't accomplished anything here. Play you that, and then we'll play the gummy bear game. Is that what you
said? Is that what we're doing, Mal? We're calling this the gummy bears?
It was your suggestion, but yeah. I think that was the best one we came up with.
That was the best offering,
You think so?
All right, and the cut's coming down here, and we'll get some word on who's getting released by the Bears. Stay with us, because we'll have all the news next.